Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message entitled, Thy Kingdom Come. And what we are preparing to do is to learn some truths, or lessons, if you will, for today's church from spiritual principles that can be seen operating with Israel, how God dealt with her under the Old Covenant. And we concluded yesterday's broadcast by looking at a chapter in the fifth chapter of Joshua, where the captain of the host, basically the pre-incarnate Christ, stands before Joshua and said that something very interesting, he was neither for him or for his enemies, but as captain of the Lord's host he had come, which indicated that God was involved in us bringing his kingdom to come on earth, his plan. And we know, as we look at that beautiful prayer the Lord gave us, we are invited to pray, Thy kingdom come, Lord, Thy will be done, Father, on earth, even as it is in heaven. That's God's plan. And we know that that prayer is going to be answered, because at the end of days, at the end of time, the Lord Jesus shall return to this earth. Every enemy of his shall be put underfoot. He shall reign as king victorious, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Praise God. Every nation, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. And so what we're seeing under the Old Covenant, this had been promised, as I developed this on yesterday's broadcast, way back before Abraham had had Isaac, before he had ever had a child. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you this land, the land of Canaan. And we see many hundreds of years later, this actually comes to pass. Remember, Israel had been in Egypt in slavery and bondage to the Egyptians for over 400 years. And then Moses was raised up to lead them out. Then they wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of unbelief. They were afraid that of the giants and the great walled cities. And only Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able to take the land. But because of unbelief, they wandered 40 years, and now the time comes in the opening chapters of Joshua that they are beginning to possess the land. The first great victory is at Jericho. And then we see in the 11th chapter, in verse 23, and just let me turn to that quickly, it says that Joshua took the whole land. Praise God. Verse 23 says, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. So what had occurred from between that fifth chapter of Joshua, when the captain of the Lord's host appeared to Joshua just before they took Jericho, and that 11th chapter, we see that the army had marched to the north and southern and eastern and western borders of Canaan, and they had defeated 31 kings and their strongholds. They had established unquestioned control over the promised land without one horse or chariot, because God was with them. And Joshua's commission was to not entirely destroy the Canaanites all at once. And we see this is recorded as an instruction in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 22. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the fields increase upon thee. And then also there is reference in Exodus, the 23rd chapter, and we see in verses 27 through 30, the Lord says clearly, and I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee, and I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. This is the Lord speaking, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. So that's something interesting. It's something we could very easily overlook as we are learning the story of how ancient Israel acquired Canaan, how they came to dwell in the land of Canaan. And when the conquest was complete, the land was divided when the whole congregation assembled at Shiloh. But from then on, after that the land was divided, it was the task for each individual tribe to conquer their own territory, to destroy the Canaanites as well as their idols and their worship centers. So here we see that God had given them the land. It was able to be divided, but it was an ongoing work because the Lord was continually watching to see what was in their heart, even as he did in the time in the wilderness, to see if they would obey the word of the Lord. They were given commandments to utterly drive them out, to destroy them, not to intermarry. And of course, we know from history that they did not obey that. However, we see this is what God intended. Most of them did choose to compromise. All right, so we're going to move ahead in time now and go past the period of Judges and come to the reign of King David. And perhaps you've heard that statement that we are a Davidic, a warrior generation, that our task is to be an example, as David was an example to the people of Israel. David was a man after God's own heart, and his heart was perfect before the Lord. And so we are called to come into the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And we know historically that the epitome, the culmination of Israel's rich spiritual heritage is demonstrated through the reign of King David, who is also a type of Christ. All prior generations led up to this period of time, which was the greatest in Israel's history. And we know, as we look at the details that are given of how David was persecuted by Saul, how he fled from him, how he lived for years in the wilderness, and when he was anointed, and when Saul and Jonathan and his sons were killed on Mount Gilboa, that David was actually made king of Judah, and he dwelt at Hebron for 7 years. We know from references in the book of the prophet Amos in 9:11, that God is going to restore the tabernacle of David. And there's reference made to that in the 15th chapter of Acts. We see where James stands up, and when the report is made of how God is moving among the Gentiles, he makes reference to the prophetic statement of Amos that this tabernacle of David is being restored, that the remnant of the heathen might seek after the Lord. That's in verse 17 of Acts, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord. So What can we learn from what I've shared? We can see that God has a divine strategy for taking the kingdom, if you will. And we see, according to what I've shared now under the Old Covenant, that the kingdom of God was set up by degrees. David had been anointed king over all Israel at Hebron. He'd been ruling over all of Judah for 7 years prior to that. And then all the tribes of Israel came to him and said, you know, you let us out when Saul was king, and we have come to you now because we want to unite and reign, have you reign over all of Israel. And what was important, we see unity being established, and that is what God's Spirit is attempting to accomplish for us today, to bring the people of God together. It cannot be done by denominational ruling. It can only be done by the Spirit of God. And there is a very interesting passage that we can discover in the course of action that David took, because we see that one of the first things he did after the tribes came to him was to move the royal seat, if you will, from Hebron to Jerusalem, which was the stronghold of the Jebusites. And so, beloved, we're going to look at some really interesting parallels, if you will, or applications for our lives on tomorrow's broadcast, and I hope that you'll be able to be with me. But for now, I'm going to bring this broadcast to a close with an invitation that if you have prayer needs, I do invite you to write and share those needs. If you've been blessed by the broadcast ministry, I know you'll be blessed by the ministry of correspondence as part of my spiritual family. Once in a while, I do share letters of testimony that have come in of how people are blessed by the word and season that the Lord gives. The announcer in a moment will give you our contact information. Thank you for joining me today, and just know that I appreciate you, and UCM Partners, I thank God for you, for your prayer support, as well as your financial help. God bless you. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.